Lord be with you. Welcome to worship this morning with Trinity. It's good to see you here. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors of Trinity. And if you are with us for the first time today, we're especially delighted to welcome you as our guest. Please let us know you are here today, and you can do so by filling out the connection card that you'll find printed in this morning's bulletin. We hope that everybody will fill one of those out. If you're new, feel free to give us as much information as you are comfortable with. If you're here regularly, if you'll just put your name and your email address and then place that in the boxes later on, that would be very helpful. Thanks so much. Well, it is an exciting morning around here. You may notice something a little different up on the communion rails, and that is because this week more than 40 third graders are receiving their Bibles that Trinity is presenting to them. We will be doing that at the 9:40 service, but we wanted you to have a visual of what will happen, and just imagine all the children and their families that will be coming forward at the next service to receive those. As they receive their Bibles and begin to explore them and how they can impact their faith, perhaps this is a day when we too can be reminded of the importance of spending time in the Word so that we can have our own faith deepened and renewed. May that message be one for all of us on this day. In the Gospel of John, we hear these words from Jesus: "If you make my word your home, then you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Good news for our lives and stories today. Well, let me say to you this morning, welcome home. And why don't you take a moment to say hello to somebody close to you as we prepare to worship.
Good morning. Would you remain standing as we begin our worship together?
Thank you. you to bow your heads and pray with me. Oh God, we give you thanks today that as we come into this place, we can breathe in your Spirit. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds to pray and to praise and to hear your word today, that we might be able to go out into the world and serve you so that we can transform your world. All these things we ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Let me invite you to remain standing with me and join me in a very historic affirmation of our faith, the Apostles' Creed. Let's say it together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Today we have an opportunity to hear from a couple of folks that you will likely recognize about our mission box for the day. We have a sister church in Cuba, Cienfuegos Methodist, and in this video that you'll see in just a moment, you'll have an opportunity to hear about what's happening there and see some pictures and how what we can do through a mission box offering today can make a difference in the ministry there. So take a look.
Trinity Sister Church is a Methodist church in Cienfuegos, Cuba. The church is over 100 years old. It's in a wonderful location. There's a central road that goes all the way to Cienfuegos, the farm. It's in a wonderful place for evangelism, and people have been marvelously responsive to us and caring as well.
The Cienfuegos church was partially damaged. The roof was destroyed in the 2005 hurricane that hit Cuba, causing a lot of damage all over the country. But the Trinity United Methodist Church has been blessed with the sister church relationship and being able to financially and morally support the church over the years since then and providing construction needs. The church has, through their membership, has been able to multiply our financial support, even though they are meager means.
The people in Cuba and the Methodist churches there are rich in faith but poor in material resources. The average salary is about $20 a month. That includes the pastor's salary. So they really need our encouragement and help.
The work that's being done is almost complete, getting very close, with the main project left is to resurface and tile the sanctuary floor. And what we'd like to do is focus on a new, finish that mission, but focus on a new new way to help Cienfuegos Church, in that they have four mission churches, four house churches that they have spun off from their church, and these all need support. And $300 a year is what we're trying to provide for each house church. It basically doubles the pastor's salary and provides some local support.
One of the things that grabbed my attention in looking at that video this week were the children and the number of children that are a part of that congregation, those home churches. And so it struck me that here was an opportunity for us. As today we share the word with our children, Might we do the same thing with them? And so I'm delighted to share with you that when our team goes in February, as well as the other work that Sanford and John mentioned in the video, they will be taking Bibles to any third graders who are a part of our Cuban sister church to present to them as well. So we invite you to be generous today in helping make all of those opportunities possible. You'll find the mission boxes located at each of the exits as you go out from worship this morning. Well, we enter into a time of prayer together as a congregation, and there are those folks among us who are part of our church community who we invite you to remember. You see their names, and you may be aware of others yourselves who you want to be holding in your heart today. I'm also mindful this morning that it is September 11th, and that it was 15 years ago today that a terrible tragedy struck our nation. And I think of persons who today are without parents or without spouses or children who were lost on that day. And so I invite you to continue to remember those who still grieve 15 years later, that terrible loss. I also am struck by the memory that in the aftermath of that event, there was this tremendous sense of unity in our country, and how far from that we have come over the past 15 years. And so I want to invite you to think about what it would look like for us to seek to be, as people of Christian faith, the kind of folks who live and speak and walk in such a way that we move our nation toward unity again rather than fracture, even in those places where we disagree and don't have the same ideas. How can we bear witness in our nation, in our community, and in our world to invite people toward unity rather than fracture? So I'm going to give you a moment of silence this morning and beginning where you can offer your own prayer and your own heart to God, and then I'll offer a word for us before we say the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, this morning as we come before you, we especially give you thanks for the children. We thank you for those that you have entrusted to our care here as the people of Trinity. We thank you for the ones who will come to this rail this morning and receive Bibles where they will read and learn about your will, your way, your desire for their lives. We thank you for the children in Cuba, whom we also have the opportunity and the privilege of serving. And we thank you for children everywhere as a reminder that your love and your care and your creation go on. And we pause this morning to ask ourselves how we will participate in making this world one that is welcoming to them, one where they might pursue dreams and desires, where they might be a part of continuing the work of bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Inspire and challenge us to deepen our commitment to your way as we remember acts of violence and hatred and war from our pasts, and as we grieve with those who have suffered loss and who live without loved ones today, may it strengthen our resolve to move forward in the ways of peace and of hope, faith, and of love. now as we continue to worship, draw our hearts together as we remember your Son, Jesus Christ, and we share together in the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. As an act of worship and a sign of our desire to participate in God's work in the world today, we bring tithes and offerings in worship. And so as the ushers come forward this morning, I invite you to consider your offerings as a sign of your faith and as a way to be a part of what God is doing through Trinity today. Let us pray. Gracious God, for all that you have given us, for all that you have entrusted our care, we give you thanks and pray that we might worthily both use and share those resources in ways that bring honor and glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning we continue with our series about who is this man, and looking at different names and characteristics of Jesus. And Jesus was a teacher, and Jesus taught us really tough stuff. As we look to Scripture this morning, we'll return again to the Gospel of Luke. Now, at the next service, I'm going to do a little bit of teaching with the kids, and so I'm going to do that with you as well. You know, if you open your Bible about halfway through, you typically end up in the Psalms. And then if you open that last half, about halfway through, you'll end up at the beginning of the New Testament. So there's just a little trick for you if you want to be able to find the New Testament easily. This morning, our scripture reading again is from Luke, and it's Luke chapter 6. The four Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so Luke is the third of those accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Christ. And we call them Gospels because in Greek that just means good news. Jesus coming and the story of who he is and who he can be for us is definitely good news for all of us. So I'll read from Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act. For he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you. As I pray for you in this evening. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Gold shoes meant that it was a pop quiz day, and word would spread quickly. If Mrs. Brantley was walking the halls of Buholtz wearing gold shoes, then everyone knew that we could expect a pop quiz that day in her British literature class. And those gold shoes would give us just a few periods of grace in which we could do some extra cramming for that pop quiz. Mrs. Diana Brantley, was one of my very favorite teachers in high school. And And she was also one of the most difficult. And yet, even though I was a really good student, it seemed like the greater the challenge, the more I would rise to the challenge. And Mrs. Brantley, well, because of her respect and care for us and the grace, made us always want to come and offer our very best. Anybody in here have Miss Diana Brantley as a teacher or know Miss Diana Brantley? You know, Jesus was also known as a teacher. He was known as many other things, of course, as Redeemer, as Healer, as Savior, as Lord. But in the Gospels, those four accounts of his life and death and resurrection, Jesus is called teacher more than any other name. He's actually called teacher at least 45 times in those four Gospels. And I am confident that Jesus is the most well-known teacher who has ever lived. And he is one of the toughest. And yet his love and care for us and his grace, combined with his very high expectations for us, make us want to come and offer our very best. You know, perhaps his most famous, his most well-known, his most familiar teaching comes from the words that I read this morning. You all have heard the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And yet, even though everyone knows the golden rule, many people don't know that it is included in Jesus' teaching. This familiar teaching comes from what we often call the Sermon on the Mount, but actually in the Gospel of Matthew, this takes place on a mountain and is the Sermon on the Mount. But in the Gospel of Luke, this very same teaching takes place on a level place. Takes place on a level place. And therefore, we can picture Jesus out in a large, flat field, surrounded by his disciples and sitting down to teach them. You know, and I don't know about you, but for me, these words that he says are very challenging. Jesus says not just to love our friends, but also to love our enemies. Jesus tells us to be kind and to do good to those who are not good to us, to those who hate us, in fact. And Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek. By that he means if someone hits you on the cheek, then turn and offer them the other one as well. You all know that it used to be that people lived by something that we call an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone punches you in the eye, then just turn around and punch them back. And if someone knocks out a tooth, then by all means, you knock out one of theirs. But you know what that leads to? It leads to a whole bunch of people who are blind and toothless. So Jesus challenged us to live a different way. Jesus teaches that we shouldn't punch back, that we shouldn't hurt others, that we should be loving even to those who are the very hardest to love. He teaches us not to judge others, but to forgive and to give generously. And he teaches us to do all of those things. Why? Because God is love. And we are children of God. The scripture says children of the Most High. We are children of the Most High God, and we should live, our lives should look like the one who is our parent. We are made to be like God. You know, all of these teachings are hard. Jesus teaches tough stuff. most of what Jesus teaches us to do goes against the grain. And it requires of us to do something that is different than our normal behavior, than our normal inclinations. You know, they make us, these teachings make us stand out from the rest of the crowd. And to go the second and the third and even the 77th mile. Yet, the more the disciples were around Jesus and the more they paid attention to his teaching, the more they could see what they didn't know, that how they acted flowed out of who they were as children of God. The way they were called to live became less a list of rules and instead became teaching that would actually change their lives. You know, this morning our third graders will receive Bibles. These Bibles we give to them so that they will not only learn the teaching of Jesus, but so that through the teaching of Jesus, their entire lives will be transformed. As I was thinking about Bibles this week, I was thinking about some of the Bibles that I received. When I was just an infant, I received this Bible as a gift, presented to Catherine Anisluck from the Juanita Scott Bible class of Fairmont United Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. It was given to me at my baptism in 1964. Y'all don't have to figure it out, I'm 52. In 1964, and this gift, even though I was too young to be able to read it, speaks of the importance of Scripture and Jesus' teaching in our lives. This one, presented to Catherine Fluck by Trinity United Methodist Church, by you all, when I was a third grader. And guess what? It was presented to me on September 11th, 1972. But, you know, it was still in words that were kind of big and difficult for me to understand, so I really didn't read this one that much. But it was when I was in high school that I pilfered my mother's Bible. It was this one, a Living Bible, a paraphrase of Scripture. And I remember coming home from school, from high school, in the afternoon, and laying out on my bed and just poring over these words of Scripture. Paul's letters were some of my favorites. And as I look, I can tell that by the yellow highlighting that are in this Bible. You know, it was as I read this Bible that I really began to not only read the teachings of Jesus, but be transformed by what I read. Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and this is what he says about the Bible. It is, we often say, the Word of God. But it is the Word of God not because it is the primary and central witness in history to God. G. Jesus Christ is that. But it is the primary witness to Jesus Christ. You know, as I read this Bible and committed myself to abide in it, to learn from it, to make it my home, it became for me the primary witness to Jesus Christ, who then transformed my life. And again, I return to those teachings of Jesus, those treasured words that nourish my soul and continue to transform me into who I am called to be. You know, when I first began to pray and deepen my prayer life and my faith, these words came into my mind. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches will find. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. And as my faith deepened and I realized that sometimes living the Christian life was not the easiest thing in the world, again I was convicted and I would hear the words of Jesus. If any would become my followers, let them take up their cross daily. Deny themselves and follow me. When I was arguing with God about a call to ministry and wasn't sure that I wanted to do this thing called ministry and accept this call, God led me to these words in the scripture. Catherine, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. Ask therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into God's harvest. And then, you know, during those difficult times, when we are lost or afraid or overwhelmed, these words of Scripture resound in my mind. Come to me, all you who labor and are carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. And then, when I let my world get a little bit too busy and I am going in too many directions, I hear these words, Martha, Martha, you are distracted by too many things. Only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the better part. And then at different times along the way, when I've not been sure I could continue in ministry, when I have questioned my ability or my effectiveness, God brought me to these words in Scripture. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name will be given you. These words of Scripture, they not only teach us, but they transform our lives as we make the teachings of Jesus our home. When I was growing up sometime as a child, my parents took me to visit my great-grandfather's cousin. She was 90 years old at the time. And I remember going into her sitting room, and there she was with a Bible open on her lap. went over and I sat down beside her. I can still remember. And she read some to me and showed me exactly where she was reading. And she also told me what she had done. That in that Bible, every time she read through the Bible, she would mark it down in the front and the back of the Bible. When she started reading the Old Testament, she would mark down the date. And when she finished reading the Old Testament, she would mark down the date. And when she started reading the New Testament, she would write the date. And when she finished reading the New Testament, she would write the date. Emma Afflelock died 6 months shy of 100 years old in 1972, the same year that I received my third grade Bible from you all. And when she died, her daughter gave my parents this Bible to give to me. And as I look through it, I can see those places where she's written down the dates. In the front and in the back of this Bible that is literally falling apart. Those times when she has written down the dates. As I look at those dates, she read through the Bible for the first time when she was 22 years old, and the last time, of course, right before she died. In all, she read the Bible 92 times, cover to cover. Emma Afflelock was a loving and kind and forgiving and generous woman. And of course, how could she do anything but that? Because Jesus said, if you truly want to become my disciples, you will make my teaching your home. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you have given us your teaching in the Holy Scriptures and the Bibles that we have. And more than that, we thank you that it is through the words of Scripture that we can see and are invited to embrace the living witness of Jesus Christ. Truly, your word revealed in the flesh for us. Oh God, this morning, challenge us, convict us to pick up our Bibles and read them, because it is through them that we not only come to know your teaching, but we come to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your words truly transform us and set us free.
It is in the Bible, in the pages of the Gospels, where we read about the meal that we come to celebrate whenever we worship, about the first celebration of that meal, when Jesus and the disciples gathered on the night before he would die, and he wanted to give them a way in which they would remember what he had done for them and for the world. the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, we read about how on that night he took bread and he broke the bread and he shared it with them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the meal, he took a cup and he gave thanks and he shared it with them, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And so we, the church, continue to do this in remembrance of him, to gather around the table where we have a constant reminder of God's wide and generous love for all of God's children, and where we offer ourselves once again to follow faithfully in Christ's footsteps. Will you pray with me? Gracious and merciful God, as we come to receive of these gifts today, we pray that you would prepare us for them and through them for faithful living. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that in them we might find evidence of the presence of Christ here with us at the table, in the cup and the bread as body and blood given up for our sake and for the sake of the world. Now bind us together as we receive these gifts. Prepare us to live as one with each other, with you, and in ministry to all the world, until that time when we all gather at your heavenly banquet table. All these things we ask through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come to the altar rails so we can share the elements with you. Here at Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always an open table. It's a place where everyone is welcome to receive. And so whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, we invite you to come. You'll notice that in front of four of the sections, there are pairs of servers. If you will simply come, beginning with the front and working our way to the back, exit from the left side of your section and come forward. Open your hands to receive bread from one of the servers, and then take that bread and dip it into the cup, and then receive the elements together. And then you can return down the other side, down the right side, back to your seats. Of course, if you like, the kneeling benches are available for you to come and spend time in prayer. Everything is ready, and we welcome you to the table.
Shepherd, lead us, watch we need thy tender care.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery by which you have fed us and nourished us. Now may we rise and go out from this place ready to serve and ready to love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we are fed, let us stand together and sing our closing hymn. As you go out from this place, may you be fed by the Word of God. May you make it your home, because then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That Word will transform your life so that you might go out and transform the world. So go, and may the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.